Fanning. Weekends on 2FM.
Now, every so often an album comes along and it changes the course of music completely. One such album turned 20 this year and it's been credited with influencing a whole host of bands. I'm thinking of Arctic Monkeys, Baby Shambles, Franz Ferdinand, Jungle, Killers, loads more. Anyway, the album I'm referring to, that famous New York City album from The Strokes, Is This It? It's their debut album from 20 years ago. At the time of its release in 2001, it picked up a load of awards, Best Album of the Year, etc. But it also stood the test of time, being later named as Greatest Album of the Decade, no less, by the NME. Luke Riley from the band Other Kin is here now to talk about the Strokes album Is This It and to explain why it was so influential. Welcome to the programme, Luke. And just as a matter of interest, last time you were with us, you took us through 90 minutes of guitar licks and bits and pieces and odds and ends. So can I start in saying, do you like the guitar playing on this album now, Luke?
Yes, I think to say that I like the guitar on this album is a bit of an understatement. Have I feel like everything to, I've done in
yeah, do you think it has? Everything you've done, Other Kin wise, and other things, like, it's an album you go back to all the time, is it?
For sure. And I think like, you know, as you said, it's one of those albums that really changed the course of music history. And I think the legacy is still very palpable to this day. You see a lot of bands kind of, especially in the post-punk revival that's happening in the UK and Ireland, so many of them have kind of strands of the Strokes DNA in what they do. And that's 20 years later. That's no mean feat.
Do you know, when people want to put something in a box, let's try for 1 second or two. People usually mentioned the Velvet Underground, like a really polished version. And I think that's a very good way to go back. I think Marquee Moon by Television is a very good way to go back. And frankly, this album does go back, and it goes back in a great way because it kind of, I'm not saying it then goes forward, but it goes back and just is so great with the music.
Yeah, I think it's one of those kind of rare albums where it's almost like this repackaged nostalgia, which is typically something that's ripe for kind of derision because it's like, oh, they're just reappropriating things that already happened. And it's very rare that you get an album where that does happen, but it's all the better for it. And it becomes so iconic because we've heard all the sounds on this album before. As you say, Television, Marquee Moon, like you listen to a song like Venus from Marquee Moon, that's the Strokes sound, essentially. That is the blueprint they followed. You know, Tom Petty, American Woman, that is just last night, essentially. But they managed to have this sort of amazing alchemy where they transcended those influences into something that was quite new and just took hold and just dominated everything. You know, not an easy thing to do.
And also, I mean, like the whole post-punk kind of vibe off it, and I mentioned the Velvets, the Stooges, that kind of thing, no reverb. It's can I say, it's very real.
Very real. And I think that's part of the reason why it was so popular when it became out, because you kind of have to understand the context surrounding its release. Nu metal was the preeminent, let's say, rock force at the time. Everything was, you know, super produced, super polished, really loud, really high fidelity. So the Strokes were kind of totally out of step with all that. It was very kind of back to basics, almost like what you'd hear in CBGBs back in the late 70s. Very simple. In fact, I remember when they, well, I don't remember because I wasn't there, but I remember reading when they recorded the album, the A&R came down and he was just so pissed off. He said, essentially, this is some of the most unprofessional music I've ever heard by a major label record, and it's going to destroy your career. And when I listen to the album, I kind of get what he means. Like, it doesn't really sound that good, you know, but it is good. Which is really cool because it was totally out of step with everything else at the time.
Yeah, I mean, in so many ways, the Velvet Underground didn't necessarily sound very good, but it's absolutely brilliant. And there's one major important thing to forget. Do you know another thing about this and the band, The Strokes? It's cool. They're cool. And cool is really important.
Oh, of course, yeah. I mean, I think the aesthetic of The Strokes almost did as much for them as the music did, you know? Because that was kind of what really sold them initially to people and moved the kind of, as Zane Lowe said, moved popular opinion away from DJs and pop music to skinny jeans and guitars. And in his quote, skinny jeans comes before guitars. Like, if you consider even Converse, Chuck Taylor, those iconic shoes that were dormant at the time, and you see them everywhere still, like people were going around looking like the Strokes as, you know, even up to now. That was a huge part of their appeal.
Another funny thing also, Luke, is just the names of the guys. I mean, like, you know, come on, it's as cool as it gets. Like, there's Nick Valenzi, there's Fabrizio Moretti, there's Julian Fernando Casablancas, who's the lead singer, of course, and there's your man, Nicolai Fratour, or whatever his name is. And then, of course, there's Albert Hammond Jr. as well. But I mean, like, I'll tell you, the best example I could give of what I'm talking about here and just how important the cool is, take a look at the video for the song I'm going to play now. Now, you can't sort of look at the video now, this is only radio, but if you look at the video and then you watch the guitar solo too, and Julian with a cigarette in his hand, I mean, like, rock needed it and it got it. And I used to use this thing here as a sync tune for a program. Listen, this is the modern age. We're talking about the Strokes. Is This It? The debut album, 20 years old. Absolute perfection, no doubt about it. That is the modern age. Is This It? Is the album from 20 years ago from the Strokes, and we're talking to Luke Riley about it. We're talking short, sharp perfection here. We're talking hooks. We're talking driving rhythms. Right up your alley, basically, Luke, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was, you know, I think that's the almost nature of the Strokes, isn't it? It's just simple and very lean, no flab anywhere, just direct and kind of to the point.
Yeah, and as I say, just check out that video for that song. And you know, I think isn't it Nick Valenzi? I think is the guitar. It's just it's just perfect. You know, as cool
just
as it
too
gets.
Cool.
Yeah, it's
too cool.
It really is too cool. Yeah. One thing about the band though, that like the detractors, there's obviously going to be loads of those, gave out about the fact that these guys were posh, and you're not allowed to be posh if you're a rock and roll band. You know, like they grew up with a bit of money, didn't they?
They did, yeah. Well, Julian Casablancas' father was a guy called John Casablancas, who was the head of Elite Modeling Management Agency, which I think produced like Claudia Schiffer and Naomi Campbell. So really kind of at the upper echelon of, you know, modeling worldwide. So I think they come from a place of enormous privilege and wealth. And they certainly had their fair share of detractors, definitely at the beginning. But it's kind of funny that it sort of didn't stick with them because I think of how good the songs were. And I think Paul Banks, there was a great book that came out a while ago called Meet Me in the Bathroom, which was kind of a chronology of the let's say, indie rock scene in Brooklyn in the early 2000s. And Paul Banks from Interpol said, yeah, everybody hated them for a bit, but then we just couldn't deny how good they were. So we couldn't really continue on.
And also, when you mention Brooklyn, I mean, like, they are absolutely quintessentially New York. In fact, they went over to England to make the album with your man, the Pixies, the guy who did Doolittle. They didn't like it.
Gil Norton.
So they used their friend, whatever his name was, Raphael, was that his name? Gordon Raphael. And, like, you know, and they do it in a slimy little basement of some sort of slimy street in the Lower East Side, which is absolutely perfect.
Yeah, and it sounds like it too. You know, it doesn't sound very high fidelity or very polished. No. And they used, I think, you know, they tried to record everything live as they could and not really go back and redo takes or overdub anything. And it's certainly all the better for it. I think it sounds very real and very like it's in a room, like you're just watching a band.
Yeah. And you could file it under kind of arty rock and roll, and there's nothing wrong with that when it's as good as that, right?
For sure, yeah. As you say, it's like almost, you know, the Velvet's VU, that sort of homely sort of feel, like you can still hear the blemishes in Lou Reed's voice. I mean, Lou Reed was never really that gifted of a singer anyway, but you can just hear the imperfections, and that's almost the making of it too.
Okay, I'll give you a blast of this one. This might be the most famous track on the album, I don't know, but anyway, this is Last Night. Last Night is what it's called, and that's The Strokes, another track from that. I'll just play one more in a second or two, but just finally look, a couple of these. Hold on, guitar solo again, hold on. Can you do that, Luke? Can you?
I can actually, yeah.
I bet you you were doing the modern age one in front of the mirror at some stage, were you?
No doubt.
Because you have to throw the shapes, otherwise I don't want to see it. Okay, that's, what do you call it? Last Night, that's the Strokes. Now, something I wanted to mention here, yeah, here's a question that's a bit tenuous. Well, then again, look at the Irish soccer team. You know, half of them were never even in Ireland before. So if I said to you, would you know if there's an Irish connection? Would you?
Between the Strokes, not that I'm aware of. I think it's more Italian.
Okay, this is about now as tenuous as it gets, because Albert Hammond Jr. has a dad called Albert Hammond Sr. Yeah. And Albert Hammond Sr. wrote like incredibly famous songs for Celine Dion and Aretha Franklin and Whitney Houston and Diana Ross and Tina Turner and Glen Campbell and Willie Nelson and all of them, right? And he wrote a song which was one of the most famous Irish songs of all time, well, from an Irish artist, which is Joe Dolan, Make Me an Island. Did you know that?
Oh,
yeah.
I did not know
make
that.
Break me and close. Yeah, do you know that song? Yeah. So that's.
Yeah, wow.
There you go. You see, that's a connection. Okay.
There's always a link, isn't there?
There is always a link, yeah. And of course, you got a big hit with It Never Rains in California and all that kind of stuff with himself. Mm. I mean, Albert Hammond Sr., that is. Anyway, taking a look at this here, do you think in some ways that they're one of the last bands to, if you like, you could say they owe nothing to the internet? Discuss.
Hmm. Yeah, I would say so, because I think certainly that they were just that period prior to when, let's say, things like MySpace kicked off.
Exactly.
Because I know the internet was instrumental in Arctic Monkeys, their beginning. Like a lot of their kind of demos were circulated around the internet, and they would turn up to gigs, and people would know the lyrics to every song, even though they hadn't put out anything.
Yeah.
Whereas I think that was just after the time, you know, the Strokes kind of missed out on that boat. But, you know, they didn't need it.
God,
I think
no.
they got signed off the back of the Modern Age EP, which came out in January 2001. Jeff Travis from Rough Trade heard it, obviously an iconic label, you know, the likes of... who did they have? They had the Smiths, Jesus and Mary Chain, and that was it. And I think they built their success in the UK, started doing sold out tours. Internet be damned.
Internet be damned, indeed. And like, it doesn't matter, like with the Vampire Weekends and the Interpols and the Strokes, if they're from a different background than a lot of bands, so be it. When we're talking here, like when you mentioned the kind of the decadence and the CBGB kind of New York-y vibe and the sort of arty arrogance and all the rest of it, the one thing then about the album is the fact that it was their best, wasn't it, really?
This is something that I would actually debate, because I think Room on Fire, the album that came afterwards, is just as good.
That's
but
the one
I think
with 1251, is it?
And Reptilion it.
Oh, yeah,
and yeah. I think probably its legacy is probably stunted somewhat by the fact that it was the second album, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you can't really capture lightning in a bottle twice, but I think they did. But it's just one of those things where, oh, well, Is This It was already out and it was perfection. How do you top that? But I mean, if anybody out there hasn't heard that album, Room on Fire, I think for my money, pound for pound, that's just as good. But I think, you know, 30 years down the line, we'll be talking about Is This It, I'd say.
Right, exactly, indeed. What about you, by the way? Solo album 2022, you mentioned before. Is it happening?
That's the plan, yeah. Looking at June 2022. So watch this space.
Watch this space, indeed. Okay, Luke Riley, it's been a pleasure, Luke. Good man yourself. I'm going to play one more track from the Strokes album. And this is it here. It's called Hard to Explain. Come on, Luke, take it easy, right?
Thank you, you too.
Dave Fanning, weekends on 2FM.